Welcome to Bible Talk. It's a podcast where we read the Bible.
And then we talk about it. It's a podcast for everyday people. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Ivy.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all of the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel."
And that is a prophecy they were quoting back to Herod. He's like, what prophet? Like Micah.
Right.
Chapter 5. What we would call chapter 5, verse
right.
2. Let's pause there.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. So in this first six verses, we see a scene play out. By the way, as we're recording this, I think it's December 11th.
So 11th,
we're right here around, we're 2 weeks from Christmas as we record this. And this is, you know, part of that traditional Christmas story, which
right.
is kind of fun to be doing that at this time of year that we're reading it. Unintentional, but cool.
Right.
So these Magi come to visit Messiah. Who are the Magi, Ivy?
Well, I mean, I've heard different versions of like what people believe they were, but it appears like they've been minimized to something as simple as wise men, but also expounded on
men,
as
right.
Individuals who were acutely attuned to astronomy.
Yep, you got it.
And the fact that in the stars, there were patterns that allowed them to kind of follow the patterns of man as well. And so they seemed at some point to be aware that there was going to be a king born, and they followed this star, which
some
was an absolute anomaly.
Yeah. Some you know, sort of astronomical event, some would call astrological event. This
right.
is where you got into the signs.
Yes,
and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was different and it was special. And this got these guys on their camels,
right,
and making their way over.
And not a far,
following
I mean, not,
this,
a, not a close journey.
Yeah,
that was
following
just,
this star.
Yes.
And then, so then Herod, who's Herod?
Herod.
King Herod in verse 3.
Herod was designated, allowed to be king in air quotes, because you guys can't
kind
see
a,
that
kind
I did
of a
that.
Puppet king.
He was a bit of a puppet king.
Whose puppet?
He was the Roman Empire's puppet to basically be the go-between. And not that you didn't, you had two go-betweens. You had Pilate, who was the go-between between the
he
Roman
was the governor,
government. Yeah.
And represented Rome.
And those who represented, you know, the Jewish people, which was the, you know, all the people that he called together. Those are the people who he went between. But that was also who Herod was responsible to get in line for the Roman Empire. And that was the teachers of the law, the chief priests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they let Herod know people are coming to look for some guy who they say was born to be king of the Jews.
Right.
Why is this a problem for Herod? Because at this moment,
he's the current king.
Herod is the current king of the Jews. And he's like, well, he's not my kid.
Right.
So what does this mean for me and for my lineage?
Right. Yeah. And I think it's kind of interesting that like he's disturbed and he calls the teachers of the law and the chief priests. And he's like, is up with this.
Yeah.
And why did I not get a memo,
uh-huh,
if you know that there is a prophecy that says it? Like, why is nobody bringing this up to me? Which to me, and I could be reading way too far into this, but it doesn't seem like they had much loyalty to him at all. You know
probably
what I mean?
Not.
No respect for him. Because, like, it's not like you're really a king.
Sure.
And it's not like you really represent the temple in the way that the kings of the past did.
True. True. Yeah. It was a part of the compromise. It wasn't uncommon for Rome when they would conquer a certain territory to leave the government and the traditions
right.
of that area intact so long as the people there pledged allegiance to the empire.
Right.
So, okay. So he hears the prophecy. Yep. There was some guy, a kid, going to be born in the land of Judah in Bethlehem, and he was going to be ruler of the people. Well, now this was not going to sit well with Herod. We pick it back up in verse 7. It says, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, hey, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. This, as you'll see, was a ruse. Verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until they saw it stop over the place where the child was. I don't know how this all works, but
right.
Anyway, verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. When they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of, you remember these from the Christmas traditional story, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. That last verse, very, very significant. They had planned on doing what Herod asked.
Right.
But a dream, just like the dream that had come to Joseph, is the thing that alerted them or warned them, hey, Herod's not probably really coming to worship this kid.
No, he wants to kill him.
Probably wants to do harm.
And okay, so just something that I feel like is at least worth recognizing here. So here are these men. They're not traditional God worshipers in the way that the Jews were, the nation of Israel, right? They lean into divination and reading the stars and, right, you know, all these things you'd think that's straight out of bounds. By way of the God of Israel.
Yeah.
But God was able, because of that, because that's how they were bent, God was able to communicate something very significant to them, even so that he would send them this, you know, this dream. And they were like, okay. Like, so what it says is they were different and maybe not altogether same, but they could be moved by God because they were sensitive to those things. They were paying attention to the signs and the time. And I think that, you know, that's worth noting. I think that they had incredible integrity.
Yeah.
The fact that they would travel all that way and just be like, oh man, that's too far.
And they bring these three gifts, gold. This is quoting an early church father named Origen. He believed that gold was a gift fit for a king. Jesus was a king. That myrrh was a gift that you give for mortal man. It was something that they used in people's burial to bring greater, better fragrance, because obviously the smell of decomposition when someone dies. So myrrh for the mortal man, Jesus was a mortal man. And then incense is something you would burn to a god.
Right.
So gold for a king, myrrh for a man, incense for a god, all three of which Jesus embodied. Okay.
That's beautiful.
We continue, Ivy.
Okay. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt, I called my son.
All right, let's pause there.
Okay, well, there's a lot there.
Imagine a thirst for power on Herod's part here, a lust for power and control that's so great that even when you believe in a prophecy, he believed the prophecy of Micah, at least enough that even though you believe God's involved and this prophecy is from God, that you're still going to attempt to stay in command by killing a baby. And then it gets even worse.
And he killed babies.
Yeah,
he killed the babies. So it's like, oh my gosh, that's just unbelievable.
So be careful. Be careful of the power pull.
Right.
Okay. Sorry, keep going.
No, okay, that's fine. But I also love that Egypt is used here due to the, like, just incredible history between Israel and Egypt, you know?
They had... God's people had come out of Egypt once before, if you remember.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. And so I just think that that's a beautiful kind of look back over the shoulder. You know, at one point, Egypt was used to absolutely subjugate the people of God.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's being used to shelter
mm-hmm.
what will become eventually.
And it had been used to shelter God's people back in the Genesis story.
Yes, this is true.
It spared them from the great mm-hmm. famine.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So verse 21.
Verse 16, I think you were.
Was I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Yep. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Jerusalem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under.
Is it Bethlehem or Jerusalem?
I've got Bethlehem.
Yeah, you said Jerusalem.
Oh, I did? Oh, man. Okay. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more.
This, by the way, is the fourth time that Matthew has referred to an Old Testament prophet in his story here about the Messiah Jesus. So he's again really working. This one's from Jeremiah 31.
Okay, yeah.
And then earlier when he talked about, I will call my son out of Egypt, that was from the book
Hosea.
Of Hosea.
Yeah.
So he's again trying to establish this is not just some made up story. Mm-hmm. I am drawing the life of Jesus that I'm telling you about in this gospel back to the things that if you're a Jew and you know your scriptures should right. make sense to you. These things check out with the Old Testament. All right, verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." It's safe now.
Right.
Herod's gone. Verse 21. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, third time now that someone's yes. been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. So we're going to stay out of Bethlehem because it might still be a little too hot. We're back
hot,
in
yeah.
Israel, but we're staying out of Bethlehem. He goes to Galilee, which is why you'll hear so much about Jesus as a Galilean.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he ends up being raised. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth in Galilee, which is kind of, by historical accounts, not a significant place on the map. So from this insignificant place comes this very, very significant
right.
figure. So was fulfilled that what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene.
Is there a spot where he was called a Nazarene? Because it says what was said through the prophets, he would be called a Nazarene. Like, I don't feel like there's a prophecy attached to that we can point to, is there?
Oh, so you're asking, is this particular verse where it's saying, so it was said through the prophets, he'll be called a Nazarene?
Like, yeah.
It doesn't have an Old Testament notation attached to it?
Mm-mm.
Well, if it doesn't have one, I don't know what it is.
Right, I know. I mean, but to me, that's worth researching because
sure.
there just might be things, like, for instance, that aren't in our current configuration of the Bible, which doesn't mm-hmm. mean that there aren't
sure.
historical documents.
And this is where, for anybody you know listening, this is where getting to that next level is getting into things like a commentary, where you could probably find out. Some scholar has gone ahead of us and done a lot of work. Scholars
right.
have done a ton of work, and they could probably illuminate where
correct.
Matthew was coming from here.
And testaments that weren't canonized with
yeah.
these 66
which
books.
Is outside the scope of our podcast because
yep.
what we're really trying to do is we're reading a chapter of the Bible or as much of it as
yep.
we can in 15 minutes.
We're talking
and
about it.
Doing a little talk about it, a little breakdown if we can.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we move on to the next, which we are at the end of chapter 2 of Matthew. So it's time to wrap up this podcast.
It is indeed.
Episode.
Thank you again so much for joining us. And as our reminder, always,
do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says.